Would you stand, please? Good to see everyone here. Glad you're here on a Wednesday night. For many, many years, Brother Lenny Smith from Antigua has been coming, and he has built a great work. Tonight we have the privilege of having his son and daughter-in-law here with us, and they too have been working with his parents, and now he's been preaching and working with the youth there and doing a great job. And so we want to invite him to the pulpit tonight, and would you preach with the missionary tonight? Amen.
Come on, can we do that for Jesus? All over this house. Amen. There's no one like Jesus. He deserves all the glory. He deserves all the praise. We wouldn't be here without Jesus. Amen. Come on, anyone believe that tonight? Amen. Amen. If you'll allow me for just a few minutes, I believe it would be within protocol. I wish we could just bind together in prayer for Pastor and Sister Schumacher. Amen. Because it's great men of faith like that. Amen, that we have this glorious truth today. Amen, it's because of their faith and their willingness to stand for holiness and for truth that young men of God can walk through the ranks. Amen, because of their perseverance and because their dedication. And I really feel that would be appropriate. Amen, so can we just bow our hands and lift or bow our heads and lift our hands towards heaven. And I wonder if we could just begin to thank God for them. Amen. I know you all have already been praying for them, but if we could just begin to thank God for them right now and thank God for the miracle that He's already beginning to do and has continued to do in their life. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. There's no one like you. There's no one beside you. We thank you for your power, God. We thank you for your strength and for your glory. And right now, we ask that you send ministering angels to Sister Schumacher, God. Lift her up right now. Lift this family up, God. We thank you for the strength that they have been to this move. Movement, God, to your church, Jesus. We thank you for their commitment, God, to holiness and to truth. And God, we know that you are already able. And God, we thank you for moving like only you can move. And we will give you all the glory and we'll give you all the honor and we will give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Aren't you thankful that you know that name of Jesus? Amen. You can be seated tonight. Amen. It's my honor and privilege to, and my wife's and my family that represent the nation of Antigua. And I thank Pastor and Sister Schumacher for that privilege to address you tonight. Amen. I greet you on behalf of our pastor and the wonderful saints there of Praise Tabernacle. But most importantly, aren't you glad you feel His presence in the house tonight? Amen. And I want to thank everyone that have given themselves to prayer and to making that possible. That just doesn't happen, you know. Amen. We enjoy it when we walk in here and we feel that presence of God. But it's not by accident. It's not by chance. It's by those that have given themselves continually to prayer and to fasting that God's presence shows up every service and every day in this house like it does. Amen. What a beautiful sanctuary you have here. It's wonderful to have my wife and our newborn son. You know, he's 8 days old today and he's already been in two different churches and three different services. You get what you give yourself to. You get what you give yourself to. And I wish that would be our commitment tonight. See, the only reason I'm really here, the only reason I'm really in the ministry is there was a great man of God that said, hey, you have a call to preach, you feel a burden, there's a street corner, go preach. The reason the church is what it is in Antigua is because of great men of God and that have supported it and our pastor, my father, that has continued to encourage us. You know, the neat thing about my father, he always prays over us that you'd do better than he ever did. And in an environment like that, you can't help but succeed. But really, it's why I am here today is because of souls. I don't deserve to be here. I tell people my only qualification, my only claim to fame is I'm just a Bible believer. Amen. Amen. I believe the Word of God. When God says He'll do something, I believe He'll do it. Amen. And the awesome thing, I also want to Welcome my wife's father and mother here. They joined us from Texas. They came up here to see their little grandson, their first grandson. Amen. I appreciate them joining us here tonight. Also, if you do me a favor, just while we're going through this service, if we could just open our minds and our hearts to what God's trying to say to the church. Because I really believe God has sent us here with a message. You know, me and my family are a little bit different. You've seen my father come through. We don't go PIM because we want to be overseas as much as we can. That's why we stay on the AIM program to keep our deputation short. But I just believe that really, we talk about it, but do we really believe it? Because God doesn't need deputation. I want you to understand that He doesn't need it. We say He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Anyone believe that? Then why do we need deputation? You hear where I'm coming from. I believe God has sent us here with a purpose to transmit what God is doing overseas to the North American church and to take that which the North American church is transmitting overseas. And I want us to bear that in mind. If you could actually get that presentation ready, I want to show you a few pictures. For those of you that don't know, Antigua is located in the Northeast Caribbean. We're about 45 minutes southeast of Puerto Rico. We're the largest of the Leeward Islands, but by large, I only mean we're about 108 square miles. We're 14 by 11, but on that small space of real estate, we have 87,000 souls that are hungry and searching for this glorious gospel, this truth which we hold so dear. And it's your prayers and support that make that possible, that we can go to them and we can reach them. And just for sake of everything flowing smoother later on, because I'm going to be talking a lot about outreach, because that's really what we do. That is our life. That is our calling. Amen. If we believe we're the church of God, really it is the calling of every person in the church of God. But our people work about an average of 55 to 75 hours a week. There's no such thing as overtime or sick benefits. And for that, they make about an average of $134 U.S. So thank God for even minimum wage. Amen. Everything you make here is way more than they make there. But I said that to say this, our people are committed to reaching souls. We've just celebrated 4 years of continuous outreach. And what I mean by that is we gather at the church every Saturday and about 9:30 we pray, and then we have till about 10, and then everyone that's there for outreach cleans the church, and then we get into the vans and go to the street. And with a consistent average of 8 or more people, we've taught over 20,000 Bible studies in the last 4 years on the streets of Antigua. So we believe in outreach. Amen. But most importantly, we believe you can take the city of Racine, the state of Wisconsin, and this nation with the gospel. But it requires us having the right focus. It requires us having the right mindset. Amen. Before we go to those pictures, just want to share three projects that we're really trying to raise funds for. And if you'd pray for that, we'd really appreciate it. One, we built a little room for baby Isaiah. We're trying to reimburse that into our funds because we took it out in advance in planning that we would raise it on this deputation. That's $4,000 for that room, just for the material. My father and myself and our young men do all the labor there at the church. And then we're also trying to add kind of a new multi-purpose room. In Antigua, we host a youth camp. And when you send some young people down on youth on a mission, things like that, and just for Sunday school and kind of a little bit of everything, a multi-purpose room we're trying to build is $4,000. And we're also putting a solar system on the church, and it's going to cost us $25,000 to pay for that. And some people say, well, that sounds like a lot of money. Well, let me tell you why it's so important in Antigua. In Antigua, on average, a dozen eggs is $3.97. A gallon of gas is $4.80. And we'll do laps around the church for $4.80 gas, because it used to be $5.60. And all the time in our history, we've only seen gas come down twice. So Jesus can work even on the gas prices. Amen. A gallon of milk, and just for sake of it, I know this may not sound too spiritual, but anyone here like a gallon of milk? I got a few honest people. I'll raise their hand and help the preacher. Remember, Pastor asked that you'd help the preacher tonight, amen? I got any honest people in the house? I know we're in the right state. I'm just wondering if I'm in the right place, amen? A gallon of milk is going to cost you $9.37. So we do not drink fresh milk. We do drink powdered milk if we need it. Please don't stone me. I know that's a cardinal sin in the state of Wisconsin, but It's the only thing you can afford down there. And for those, I won't ask you to raise your hand because you probably won't, and I don't want to have to preach about lying. But for all you that like ice cream, Amen. The cheapest gallon of ice cream, not the specialty stuff, not Ben and Jerry's or Häagen-Dazs. The cheapest brand of ice cream for a gallon is going to run you $14.37. Yeah. So everything's very expensive, including power. And we average a little over $5,000 a year or more just in our power bill for the church. And that's not air conditioning. That's bare minimum to what we can run there at the church. So that's why the solar system is so vital. Because even if we don't raise any support, this paying the power bill pays it off in 5 years. But if you keep that in prayer, we would truly appreciate that. And if you want to give to that, you can just see Pastor, and we would appreciate that as well so much. Amen. If you have those pictures ready, we want to show you a few pictures about Antigua, see where your prayers are going to do. Amen. And if you can put that up there, I'm just going to step to the side so everyone can see. And then just be ready to pause it for me, if you will, so I can tell a few stories, show you kind of what's happening. Right there is actually the church property. God's blessed us with a 2-acre piece of property. You can kind of see the outline there. And the church is in an L shape. The longer portion is the sanctuary. The L shape at the back is kind of where we have a living quarters. And then a little bit farther out where you see the silver roof, that is the pavilion. Amen. If you ask some of the young people that came down to Youth on a Missions, it's growing a lot since they've been there. Amen. It used to just be a small area because we've continued to have Youth on a Mission and Youth Camp. We've enlarged it a little bit. And then our shed area there. So that just kind of gives you an overview of where the church is located. And do note the gravel road. Amen. It's nice driving on paved roads to get to church. Amen. In Antigua, we have mud and gravel roads. So, amen, we really have no excuse in North America not to make it to church, even if it's Wednesday night. Amen. We should have had some more amens. If you'd hit play for me, please. Amen. I just want to show you a little aerial view. This is kind of what we see as we fly into the plane, the souls that you're praying for, the houses and the people that we go out every Saturday to reach and even throughout the week and talk to them about this glorious gospel that we hold so dear. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the truth of Jesus Christ? Amen. Baptism in His name and filling of His Spirit. Amen. There's nobody like Jesus. Amen. There's nothing like being born again in that precious blood of Jesus and filled with His Spirit. Amen. While they're getting that going there, amen. Just to give you a little overview, tell you a few stories ahead of time. Last year, we were believing God for at least 100 people baptized and filled in Jesus' name. And, you know, the thing is, so many times we can go through life, and it seems like, just like Pastor was talking about, where we can get to that duration of time, and it feels like we're not going to reach that original goal that we set out to reach. And I remember we started our New Year's Eve service, and we only had 97 people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, some of us could have just said, well, that's close enough. You almost made it. Let's call it right there. But we said, no, God, we still got a few hours left in this year. We're going to give it everything we got. And 4 minutes from midnight, we baptized our 101 person in that precious name of Jesus. So even if sometimes in your situations in life, it may seem 4 minutes from midnight, but He's an on-time God. He answers every need, He answers every situation, and He does all things well. Amen. Amen. Another few other things. And this year we're excited because after all the years that we've been there and working with the people in the church here, we've always had more people filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost than we have had baptized. And this year, all the way since January of this year, we've had more people baptized than filled. So it's amazing to see them respond to the message of Jesus' name and baptism in His name. This year already we've had over 31 people baptized in that precious name. And so far over 20 have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's through prayer and your support that makes that possible. Amen. But here's the neatest thing. In all of this, you know, you're praying for us there, but every week our young people are praying for you here. And that's the awesome thing about the kingdom of God. No matter where you're at, no matter where you go, amen, God is the same God everywhere. If they get that going, we'll go through it. Otherwise, the pictures are on our church website and whatnot. But God is so good. I'll just tell you a few more stories. And because see, how outreach started 4 years ago is I've always been a very direct preacher, a very blunt to the point kind of preacher. That's just my personality. I don't sugarcoat it, just tell me like it is. And that's my personality. But I remember my father, my pastor, pulling me aside. And you know, when pastor calls you into his office, most times that's not really a problem. But when pastor shows up at your bedroom door, you know you're probably in trouble. And I remember one day pastor knocked at my bedroom door and he started to pray then, you know. That's when you get all spiritual all of a sudden. Don't act like none of you do it. Amen. When pastor gives you that phone call and he came in and he said, you know, And here's the question he posed to me is, how many of these people have you won to God? How many people have you taught a Bible study to? And see, so often we want to be in the limelight, we want to be seen, but that's not what the kingdom of God is all about. Our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer picked up a towel and washed the disciples' feet. And if we could learn to emulate that, we can really forever reshape our nation and our world. And with that challenge, he said, you got to stop beating up my sheep. He said, you got to go out and win some. And that's when he told me, if you want to preach, there's a street corner, go preach. And I went to at that time it was my fiance, and we weren't yet married. And I tried to get her on my side. And I know nobody here would ever try and get anyone on your side against pastor. I know you don't do that here, but in Antigua, we're a little bit different. I went to her and told her what pastor said, and I tried to get her on my side. And I thank God for a smart wife that's smart enough to say that that's between you, God, and pastor, and not leave me out of it. I don't want to get in the middle. And amen, that should always be our answer, our response. So then, you know, all I had left to do was go to God. And, you know, he wouldn't get on my side either. So then all I had to do left was repent. And a few weeks later, we started outreach in Antigua, and we've been continually doing it ever since. And lives have been changed. And I say that to say this, let your rebuke be your opportunity, be your launching pad for your world to change. We never thought 4 years ago when we started outreach that we would ever have talked to over 20,000 people. We never thought that. It was just trying to go out and be Christ-like. It was trying to find a way to reach people. So you never know what God can do when he finds willing vessels. So if you could, let that rebuke be your launching pad for the miraculous, for God to move in such a mighty way. And I say that to say this, we've met a lot of people on outreach. We've went to our drug lords, our president's been taught a Bible study, our vice president, first lady, former first lady. And you know, here's the thing. You say, well, how do you talk to those people? Well, you open your mouth. It's generally how you talk. Use your voice box. See, the president's no different to me than a beggar on the street. In North America, where we have such a title complex, we get nervous around people like that. They're just a soul, and they need Jesus. And my question is, will you be the light that Jesus wants to use? Will you be the light Jesus wants to use? Because he wants to reach him, but he needs a willing vessel. You read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God's desire is to seek and to save that which was lost. But never once does he go without a willing vessel. Oh, sure, you can take me to Acts chapter 10 in Cornelius. And you say, look, the angel showed up. But who told him what to do? Oh, God can use angels, but it takes a willing voice. Amen. And I remember sometimes the paths God leads us don't always seem to be the most convenient ones or the most obvious ones. I remember how we first met our first lady and former first lady, Brother Dwayne, one of our young men. He's the chemistry professor at our state college there in Antigua. And he was walking down the street. And you see, when you do outreach, it just gets contagious. And our young people, we do it all together on Saturday. And then a lot of times they'll go out Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday. They'll just grab someone and go out together because it's so exciting. It's invigorating. And forgive my use of this word, but in Antigua, we just call it a drug. Take it with a grain of salt. Amen. Because we love doing outreach and the joy that you feel. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I remember he was walking down the street, and there was a ladies' like gift shop. They had jewelry and different things and some clothing and different things for ladies. And he was walking by, and he just felt the Holy Spirit say, go in there. And he's not married. He's a young single man. And he said, God, I that's not where I go. I don't go into that store. And the voice wouldn't leave him alone. And he walked in, and he met our first lady and former first lady. And at this time, we were in elections, and she wasn't the first lady yet. But he just went in there and said hi, introduced himself, and they began to talk. And in a few minutes, he used the cop-out of, well, I'll come back, and I'll bring my youth pastor and his wife. And sometimes we do that. God throws us the ball and we jump out of it. But that's okay. I'm not pointing fingers at him, because then he brought me, and my wife was busy that day. So then I showed up there and we began to talk some more. And I said, well, I'll come back next week with my wife. But long story short, we've continued to talk to them, showed them a Bible study. We're very good friends. When we go back to Antigua to have Isaiah dedicated to the Lord, they should be in attendance. And please do keep that in prayer. But they are planning, if everything works out with scheduling, to be in that service with us. Because God desires to move where there's a willing vessel. Amen. I can tell you stories where we've walked into the drug dealers' houses where they store the drugs into their turf houses, what they call them. It's kind of like a safe zone. It's where people that wear the colors or are part of the gang can go in, and there's free prostitutes and low-level gambling, and they just hang out there. It's kind of like their club or their safe zone. And we've gone in there, and I remember the time we went into one in particular, and we walked in there, and, you know, things that go on there, and Big Mama was in charge of the house, and she really was a Big Mama. But she ran everything, and she made sure everything worked just the way it was. And we said, hey, ma'am, we're here from Praise Tabernacle, and we're just here to pray with everyone. And she says, well, let them finish their games and whatnot, and when they're done, you can pray. And we said, okay. We just stood next to the door and waited patiently. And once everyone got done, she came in and grabbed up all the cards and told everyone, hey, straighten up. The people from the church are here, and they're going to pray with you. That sounded fair enough. So we said, hey, let's all gather together in a circle. You know, for us, that's quite common. Pentecostals know what it means to gather in a circle and hold hands and pray. But most people outside those doors don't have a clue about that stuff. So we said, let's just get in a circle. And then we said, let's hold hands. Now, these are all guys. There's only Big Mama and one of the prostitutes here. The rest were all men. And gang members don't hold hands. But Jesus can change any life. And we said, let's hold hands. And then we said, now we want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Now, you don't go into a turf house and ask some of the gang members to bow their head and close their eyes, because next thing they think is, where's my gun? They're going to shoot me. But you know what they did? When you have the power of Jesus and you go where he asks you to go, they held hands, they bowed their head, and they closed their eyes, and we began to pray in the name of Jesus. Now, I'd love to tell you the Holy Ghost fell and they were just all began to speak in tongues, but that's not what happened. But you know what? Wherever we go in Antigua, because of different times when we've talked to the drug lords, we're always protected. We wear our bright outreach shirts, and you've probably seen my father with those. We don't have a table with any of that tonight, just because babies take lots of room. Amen. And our car is full of his stuff. Amen. And that's another story. Amen. But we wear our bright outreach shirts, and that's kind of like our church colors. That's what identifies us with the truth. That's what identifies us to the nation with Jesus. So when we walk through those streets, they know who we are and they don't mess with us. And we can go to any person and anywhere we want in any territory, and they leave us alone because they know who we are. But see, if you want that kind of reputation, you got to live what you preach. Amen? It's time the apostolic movement live what we preach. We've been preaching revival for years, but it's time we actually live revival. One more story about outreach before we go to the scripture. We're in a village, myself and one of our young men, Brother Eugene. He's a keyboard player and music director for our church. And we were going through an area where we had pretty much gone through all the different houses and talked to all the people. But sometimes, you know, God wouldn't let us leave, and he kept telling us, there's someone you're missing. And in Antigua, our goal is when we go into a village, we want to make sure we reach every house and talk to every person, because every soul matters. And every person in your community matters. Amen. But it's up to us to go. So we kept going through saying, God, where do you want us to go? And we met Dawn Burnett. We met her on her front porch doing her wash, and we began to talk to her about Jesus. She says, I see it. I need to be baptized. And we said, exactly right, ma'am. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Because John chapter 3 and verse 5 says, except a man be born of the water, that's baptism. And born of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. We need that to be saved. Amen. That's not my words. That's God's words. And she saw that revelation on her front porch. And her husband had already had the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, but they had not yet been baptized in Jesus' name. And I said, but ma'am, before we go, I said, is there anyone else? And she brought out her son, Kadeem, and we began to talk to him about baptism in Jesus' name. And he says, I want to do that. And I said, great. I said, but before we go, is there anyone else in the house? And sometimes you just got to keep digging. Amen. And then Janicia, their youngest daughter, came out, and we began to tell her about Jesus' name baptism and God's plan of salvation. She says, okay, I'll come back too. And we baptized mother, son, and daughter that day, that Saturday afternoon. Took a little while to get daddy, but I'm thankful to say the whole family was baptized in the precious name of Jesus, and Kadeem received the Holy Ghost as he came up out of those waters of baptism. Because we serve a God that's able. And he knows where the hungry people are in your city. But here's the thing. If we're going to effectively reach our city, we got to throw that checklist out. It doesn't work. And frankly, can I be very blunt? Outreach in North America is not compared to what the Bible wants it to be, because we have the wrong perspective. And one of those things
is that checklist. And I know this is an outreach-oriented church, and I thank your pastor for that. But I want all of us, it's not just pastor's job or the leadership team. It's every saint of God's job to go out and be a light to your community, to be a light to your family, to be a light to your coworkers. It's not somebody else's job, it's my job. Amen? And if we're going to be effective at reaching people, we got to throw out that checklist. And I know we say we don't do it, but how many times we walk up to people and we're looking at them and we're seeing, do they fit what I want to sit next to me? And if they don't, we just... Well, maybe that wasn't God. Or maybe next time. And I'm guilty of it too. I'm not pointing fingers. I've done it too. And I'll tell you what, that's where outreach has really changed my life, continually going on outreach. Because humor me for a few minutes. In Antigua, we have a funny little thing that we do. And it's a little bit harder here in North America. But in Antigua, we have guard dogs everywhere. And they're in everyone's yard. And me and my wife are taking our young people, and we'll be walking down the street, and I'll say, now teach that dog a Bible study. Now, I'm not teaching new theology. No, dogs don't go to heaven. It's not in the Bible, but here's the principle of why I do that. If you can stand there at a fence with a dog barking at you, people walking by and laughing, thinking you're crazy, you'll teach anyone a Bible study. You will. Even when they don't look right, even when they don't smell right, even when other people say, hey, they'll never make it. And see, if we're going to be the church of the Bible, we need to get back to that kind of mindset. We need to get back to that kind of belief that no matter what they look like, no matter where they came from, no matter who they are, I have a Jesus, I know a God that wants to save them, that wants to redeem them, that wants to cleanse them. Because see, we can get holier than thou, but I don't deserve to be here, and neither do any of us. It was the gift of God. It was by His grace and His mercy that He redeemed me from a life of sin. But can I just be real for a few minutes? Hey, we got it going. Hallelujah. You can hit play for me if you will. Amen. Miracles happen all the time. Amen. Even when you're talking about Jesus. That's actually our state college there. So when I was talking about Brother Duane, he teaches right up there on the top in the building there. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Ezekiel. Amen. If you can just get that playing, if it will play in Jesus' name. Otherwise, we'll go right to Ezekiel chapter 3. Amen. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, going to verse 17, I'm going to talk about something tonight very briefly, but it's not really talked about too much because, frankly, no one likes to admit defeat. Anyone here like to admit defeat? I know I don't like to admit defeat. Amen. I'm sure you don't either, but the truth is, the apostolic movement in North America has failed in outreach. Really, we have. We have not been apostolic in our outreach like the apostles were. 12 men turned the world of Rome upside down from center to circumference. They shook every soul, they shook every village and every town because they were committed to this gospel. They were committed to this, our Savior, Jesus Christ. They were committed, and at that time they didn't even have all of the Bible. Many of them penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But they were committed to the cause. And here's the scripture that I really believe with all my heart that they were committed to. This is one of the driving factors that drives us to teach Bible studies in Antigua. And it's Ezekiel chapter 3. Amen. Amen. In verse 17. Okay. Pause that. Amen. Well, you can keep going with this. I'll tell you a little bit. Right there's where Isaiah's room is being built. Amen. There's our pastor and some of our young men building that room right there. Amen. And what we did, our pastor had a great idea. We put the roof on first, then he can work in the shade. Amen. You got to work smarter, not always harder. Amen. So that's what we did there. We put up the walls and the roof so that way we could build the rest of the room in the shade. And in Antigua, it does get quite hot, and that makes a big difference. Amen. And there's the outside of that room and how it looks now. Amen. And what we'll be going back to in a week. Now, right here, this is a 10-year prayer request in the making. So that's why I said, don't be weary in well-doing. This is actually a water line going in next to the church, and they put a fire hydrant right next to the church, which is really neat because in all of Antigua, I can probably count all the fire hydrants on one hand. But I just believe they're believing for a Holy Ghost and fire outpouring, and they put that fire hydrant right next to the church. Amen. But here's why it's so important to us, because in Antigua, of course, remember I said our road is made out of gravel and mud. And in Antigua, our government departments don't work together. I know that's not common here, but in Antigua and other countries, our government departments refuse to work together. So when the road department comes in and puts a beautiful new road, the water department will come through kind of like that and rip it up and make it a mess. So the road department just says, we're not putting any more roads in. until the water lines are in. So they refused to put a road into the church. Thankfully, after prayer and belief, God has put that road in, or the water in, and now we're believing for that road to follow in Jesus' name. Amen. If we're having trouble with it, you can just switch to the scriptures, please. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17. I want to talk about this very briefly, like I said, because the truth is, the church is lacking in the joy that was promised us. And the truth, the honest, and I don't say this to be offensive. Please bear with me to the end. I am going somewhere. But really, the church as a whole lacks the joy that it was designed to have. In fact, many people in the church are very depressed. And that these things ought not be so. Amen. I'll be honest with you. I know Brother Mooney's been here before, and I so love his preaching. He'll tell a story, and he'll just suck you in. And then he says, I'm about to punch you in the mouth, and then he tells you the good stuff. Amen. I'm not that eloquent with stories, so I'm just going straight to the scripture. And if it punches you in the mouth, I'm sorry, but it's the scripture. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17. Jesus is talking to the prophet Ezekiel, but he's speaking to us too. It's still relevant today. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17. He says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. I want us to notice here, because this can be interjected to me and to you. He can enter my name, Benjamin, be a watchman unto the house of Israel, or your name, be a watchman unto Racine, or the state of Wisconsin, or the nation of North America. Because really, I believe in the Bible, every person in our city deserves a witness. We are entirely too quiet. I believe every person in our city deserves a witness. But here's the thing. God has asked us to be that witness. And you say, it's impossible. How on earth could one person go to 87,000 souls? I'll tell you, one soul at a time. One soul at a time. But see, here's why so many times, and I'm giving you the end of the message before the beginning, so it'll make a little bit more sense in a minute. But here's why so many times we give up outreach in North America. Think about this. You know, we push that Jesus says you must be born of the water and spirit to be saved. How many agree with the preacher tonight? Amen. I believe that wholeheartedly. But where we go wrong is in our perspective of that. We go out into our communities to tell people about that, and then we want to play God's role and save them. But that's not Bible. You cannot save anybody. God says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. You know, the only way to get people through those doors is through Jesus Christ. Not me. Now, I know he said compel them. And I agree 100% with compelling. I could tell you stories where we literally chase people down the street, okay? I mean, I won't even go into the stories that we have about some of the crazy things that happen on outreach in Antigua there. Hallelujah. But the thing is, God has made us that watchman. God has made us that watchman. And all this is going to connect in a minute of why we don't go. Because we go to a person, we tell them about Jesus, and then if they don't immediately jump up and get baptized and get filled, we say it doesn't work. Or they just didn't really want Jesus. Or we try and push them out. Maybe they're the stony ground. Maybe they're choked off. And we try and analyze and identify the reason for their lack of response. But church, can I be honest? We've played the wrong role. And that's why we haven't reached our whole city yet. But I believe if you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life tonight and rearrange some things, change your perspective, we can see the power of Jesus move in our city like never before. Just like we saw 8 people talk to over 20,000 people in just over 4 years. It's very possible if the church of Jesus Christ could rise up and be counted. Because see, here's what I'll tell you. Our church in Antigua is believing for a 1 billion soul revival before Jesus comes. But we can't do it alone. We need your help. See, it's not about building my kingdom. It's about building his kingdom. And you'll never really be successful or effective or powerful or anointed until you can get that concept. It has nothing to do with me, but everything to do about him and with him and through him and for him. He is our king. See, that's where democracy has went wrong. It's made us think that we can like Jesus on the good days and vote him out on the bad days. Jesus doesn't live in a democracy. He lives in an absolute monarchy where he reigns supreme. I'm sorry if that doesn't fit your concept of heaven, but that's what it is from the Bible. Now, here's what I'm going to challenge you to do to be effective at outreach. Here's how we've been able to go to so many in our nation. And please hear me out to the end. Don't make it about their response. Make it about Jesus. Can I show you something powerful? When I make it about someone's response, you know what I've effectively done? Can you just work with me for a little bit? We're going to do a little role play. And by all means, we all need Jesus here, right? Okay? And God's given me the gospel just like God's given you, and we got to go out and take it. Amen? So I find someone that's hungry, and I begin to tell them about Jesus, and I begin to talk to them. But you know what I'm doing? I'm waiting for them to get baptized and get the Holy Ghost. You know what I've done? Grab a hold. I've bound myself to him. Now there's a cry over here. And I... Come on. You see where I'm coming from? We hear this and we feel something over here. Maybe this brother back here wants something, but I'm tied because I'm waiting for a response. Paul didn't wait for a response to be baptized or filled. You know what they did? They just preached the gospel. Before we continue on Ezekiel, put up 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. I'm going to show you a piece of scripture, very powerful, but very unmodern apostolic. But I believe it's what God wants the church to do. And if we can put that up there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul is here going to the Corinthian church. And Paul, I want you to understand, Paul went to Corinth at his most discouraged point in his ministry. He went there after he was very discouraged. He went there alone. Corinth is one of the only places that we have an account of Paul ever going to start a church or a ministry alone. He went there, and scholars estimate in 18 months. Somebody say 18 months. Paul left Corinth 18 months later, and they estimate he started a church as the only born-again believer. And when he left, they estimate between 40,000 and 120,000 born-again believers. But notice what Paul starts out Corinthians by saying, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." I know that doesn't sound apostolic, but I'm going somewhere. But what did Christ send him to do? To preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. See, it's not a program that's going to save your city. It's someone that's willing to preach the gospel. But see, I can't allow my willingness to share the gospel to be tied to a person's response to the gospel. Because I can't determine a response. I can show them, I can compel them, I can live them, but that ultimate decision comes down to them and Jesus. But what I can determine to do is to preach the gospel to every person in my city. And you know what? There's no discouragement there. Because regardless of whether or not they respond, the joy comes from the fact that I told them, not from the response. And it empowers me to reach my whole city regardless of their response and never be discouraged. We may get weary, we may get tired, but see, I unlock myself from being bound. See, that's what Satan wants to do. He says he tries to blind our eyes and blind our mind. And if he can keep you bound to even 5 or 10 people, he's won the battle. God didn't call you to 5 or 10. He called you to the city. He called you to the multitude. He called you to the world. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Somebody say every. Every creature. Back to Ezekiel chapter 3. And in closing, I want to read these next few verses. If you would stand with me even in closing. Ezekiel chapter 3. Picking up, we said verse 17 was the challenge or the promise or the command by God. But in verse 18, he says, "When I say unto the wicked." This is Jesus, notice. He's speaking to the wicked. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning." Didn't say you had to baptize him. Didn't say you had to pray through. Now, I know that's the requirements for heaven. I know that. And I'm not telling you that we stop teaching that. But I'm telling us what our job is. Our job is to warn them. Leave the rest in Jesus' hands. Just warn them. Just warn them. And how are we going to warn them? "Givest him not warning, nor speaketh." You know, you speak with your mouth. Nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life. "That same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. You know the problem why so many of us find ourselves being discouraged or in despair? We are very bloody, and God is calling us that iniquity, that blood at our hands. But see, there's a way to get away from that. There's a way to become free of that blood. In verse 19, yet, somebody shout, yet. Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness nor his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity. The wicked person didn't change. The wicked person didn't change. But what changed? The witness gave him witness. Somebody, I want you to see what God is trying to say to the church. The witness gave him witness. And in that witness, Bible says, thou hast delivered thy soul. Thou hast delivered thy soul. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before Jesus and him say, I gave you a whole nation of souls, but you only talked to a few hundred. I want to say, God, I gave it my best. I planted seed in every one of those 87,000 souls, and I kept trying and I kept reaching. And God, I left it in your hands, whether or not they were saved. I wonder if we could reach a hold of this tonight. God is trying to impart something into you. I'll tell you what, this will so reshape your focus and vision for outreach when you understand the power that is in this scripture. Verse 20, and it goes on again, when a righteous man doth turn. Now he's talking about the church. He's talking about those that fall in the church, and it does happen. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because he has not given him warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood. His blood will I require at thine hand. Next verse. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not and he doth not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned, and thou hast delivered thy soul. I know this is a very heavy piece of scripture. But you know what? God wants some souls to be delivered tonight. God wants some chains to fall off. But see, so many times we believe the lie. What if they don't respond? What if they don't want it? Or maybe I've tried that and nobody seemed to ever want to get baptized. No one ever wanted to come back. Doesn't matter. That's not your job. Your job is to warn him. It's his job to save him, but it's our job to warn him. And see, in the world that we live in, we get so ticked off when we go out to a restaurant and our food comes cold, when they screw up our order, we get so mad and we get ready to rip the head off that waiter or waitress, or someone cuts us off on the freeway and we tell them words that we ought never to utter. Or our family members do something that they ought not, but we give them a piece of our mind. You know what my pastor always tells me? Be careful how many people you give a piece of your mind. You might not have none left. Can I just close in this? I wonder if we could begin to gather around this altar. We get so upset when our plans don't go according to plan. Isaiah was 13 days overdue, and everyone was saying, when are you going to have him induced? Well, why induce him? The Lord knows the perfect day he needs to be born. Now, there may be some circumstances, but that's just mine and my wife's agreement. But here's what I want us to see. Can you hear that cry tonight? Those of you coming to the altar saying, God, I want to be different. Because see, here's the thing. Although we may have got ticked off at the world, when's the last time we got really upset that a sinner was going to hell? Because they're going every day. And I know that's something maybe is not so popular to talk about, but it's a real place. And it's our responsibility to give them that witness. And I wonder if tonight in this altar, in the few minutes we have left, could we just lift our hearts and minds towards heaven, extend our hands and begin to say, God, you know what? I may not be a perfect vessel. I may not have everything together, but I want to be different. God, I don't want to be hindered anymore in my witness. I want to preach the unadulterated word of God. I want to reach every person in my city. And you know what, church? You can do it. You can do it, but it starts by taking the limitations off God. And it starts just like Isaiah said in chapter 6. Here am I, Lord, send me. Would you begin to let him send you to people all over this city? Would you begin to let him send you into people's lives that are desperately crying out for help? But because we've made it about the response, we have become weary and we don't want to go. Come on, all over this house, lift up our voice. Let's just begin to talk to him. He's here to change your mind, to change your perspective, because he wants to reach every city. We don't have a whole lot of time left, church. Things are wrapping up very quickly according to the Bible. But God wants to see every soul saved. God wants to see every life changed and rearranged. But it's up to us to be that witness. Joy.